We've been in a series about prayer, about trying to unlock or just discover how we can have a deeper life, a deeper relationship in God's presence, and we do that through prayer. I love it. He's like, I do not want to go downstairs. All right. You know, a couple weeks ago, I had the privilege of attending something that our district is putting on called Deeper Life Academy. And the whole idea of it is to gather leaders from churches to come together, and we're basically doing an intensive 4 weeks where we're at Mount Angel Abbey. It's gorgeous. I should have put a picture up. I forgot. It's an amazing location. But it's 4 weeks where we're just basically going over what it looks like to have a deeper relationship with God. And a lot of the things that we cover, a lot of the practices, a lot of the time that we spend, whether it's in prayer or in study, it's in solitude, are a lot of the same things we've been talking about when we've talked about prayer as a church. The last time we talked, which was before Easter, was about healing prayer. We talked about the power that comes from the Spirit that invites us to join the work of the Spirit in healing people, both spiritually and physically. This week, we're going to look at prophetic prayer, hearing God's voice. I can't remember what I put as the title. What did I put? You want to click that slide up? There we go. And I love, you said you were praying about love. And it's prophetic prayer is love that speaks. It's God's love that speaks. And I'll define it here in a second, but I spent 5 days at the Abbey getting to just be in prayer, getting to be in study. It was actually surprisingly really hard mental work. By the end of it, I was exhausted. And kind of what's become a ritual for me anytime that I get to go down to the Abbey, because the Abbey is down by Salem, I take a little bit of a detour and I go to Kaiser, and there's In-N-Out Burger. This was before there was In-N-Out Burger up here. In fact, in honor of that, I wore my In-N-Out Burger shoes this morning. I like In-N-Out Burger. I'm just going to say it. I'm a sucker for it. But In-N-Out's interesting. It only has really 3 menu items, besides their shakes and fries, all the extra stuff. But your choices are a hamburger, a cheeseburger, or a double cheeseburger. That's it. All burgers. And honestly, that's kind of enough for me. Like, I will take all 3 of them and enjoy them. But for those that know, there's a secret menu. If you don't know, I'll explain it. It's kind of, if you know the secret menu, it unlocks a code where it unlocks something that takes that burger, whether you choose a hamburger, cheeseburger, or a double, to a whole new level. And once you know that code, you can ask for it. And every In-N-Out location you go to, the employees all know the secret menu. My go-to is a double-double animal style. So what is animal style? They grill the patty in mustard. They add grilled onions and pickles chopped up into the burger sauce and add extra sauce onto the burger. And let me tell you, it's a completely different experience that's built on the same burger. And I was sitting there eating my double-double animal style, enjoying it. I actually just started a new thing. I started putting chopped chilies on it too, which is really good. It adds a little kick. But I was sitting there and I was like, huh, this is exactly what happens to me when I go to deeper life. Hang with me for a second. The Word of God, if I get struck down, the Word of God is a burger. It's the burger, because it's the main thing. You go to In-N-Out, the burger is the main thing. It's the meat. It's the substance. And it alone is enough. But the Spirit is what takes it to animal style. It unlocks the code. It reveals the secrets. It makes the burger better. I'm still here, so that's good. These prayer practices we've been walking through together, they are the secret menu items. Gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us to unlock the richness and depth of the Word and take us into a deeper encounter with God's heart than we could get any other way. Today we're going to look at one more item on the secret menu. So we're going to look at prophetic prayer. What does that mean? And I know that there's probably tension in the room, because when you hear the word prophetic or prophecy, one of a few things happens. Either your eyes light up because you've experienced it, or you get a little nervous because it sounds mystical or out there, or maybe you've seen it abused or done badly and left a bad taste in your mouth. But stay with me, because we're gonna walk through prophetic prayer and we're gonna look at what Paul says about it, and I think he clears up and simplifies the definition for us a bit. And we can kind of reframe it so that we see how it's in line with God's purposes. So what is prophetic prayer? Before I get right into the definition, I want you to see what it does. So in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, I'm glad I wrote this down because I left my Bible upstairs. It says this, "But one who prophesies strengthens others, encouraging them and comforts them." There's three things happening in this passage. Strengthens, encourages, and comforts. That's the job description. That's it. That's the whole thing. Prophetic prayer is simply this. It's praying for what God's heart is for a person. It's not predicting the future or rebuking somebody. That is an aspect of prophecy, praying for the future, rebuking sin. We see that in Scripture. If you look at prophecy in the Old Testament, so a couple things. One is that type of prophecy is actually a lot less in the Bible than the prophecy that's actually speaking encouragement and strengthening the body. It's a lot less frequent in the Bible. And typically in the Old Testament, the prophecy that is spoken is pointing towards Jesus. And then the prophecy that's spoken in the New Testament is actually partnering with the work of Jesus and the church. So it can sometimes feel, when we start talking about prophecy, it can feel overwhelming, or it can be like, well, we're out there. But one, know it's rooted in Scripture. And two, understand what its purposes serve. And so, but today what we're actually going to be looking at, the aspect of prophecy is simply this. Partnering with the Holy Spirit to speak what only God could say over someone's life. To strengthen, encourage, and comfort in a way that only He can. So let me just say that again. This is the, when we talk about prophetic prayer, a prophetic prayer life, it's partnering with the Holy Spirit to speak what only God could say over someone's life to strengthen, encourage, and comfort in a way that only he can. I love how Paul sets this up in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 14. He says this, "Let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy." Paul's anchor, he anchors this whole thing in love first. Your highest goal is love. Then, out of love, desire these gifts, the gifts of healing, the gifts of prophecy, etc. The word desire is active. It's not a wait and see if it happens to you. We're supposed to pursue it. Ask for it. Be open to it. Because if we're open to one gift, we can be open to all the gifts. And if you look at it in the context, Paul is writing to the whole church. It's not just to pastors. It's not to the spiritual elite. It's to everyone in the room, which means this is for everyone in the room today. The prophetic word that comes to people through the Spirit usually comes in two ways, two primary types of words that the Spirit gives. One is a word of knowledge, which simply is this: God supernaturally revealing a fact about a person or a situation that you couldn't have known on your own. The second is a word of wisdom. God showing you not just what someone is walking through, but what to do with it. His perspective and insight into how to apply what he's revealed. Think of it this way. A word of knowledge tells you what God sees, and a word of wisdom tells you what God would say about it. Does that make sense? How do we listen? How do we do this? I think it starts by slowing down. Most of us are so busy forming the next sentence in our prayers, trying to solve someone's problems when they come to us for prayer, that we never actually pause to listen to what the Spirit has to say. I'm guilty of this. When we're praying for someone, we need to slow down. There's this... One of my friends that does this so well, he often will start before he goes into prayer. It's like this really awkward pause that I'm like, are you going to talk? Should I talk? Was I supposed to say something? That's what I start going through in my mind. And he's just pausing. He's slowing down. And then he takes a deep breath. He exhales. He takes another deep breath. And all the while, he's just allowing his body and his mind to slow down enough that he can start to sense what's happening in the room. Be present in the moment. Stop performing the prayer and just listen. I would like to say this only happened when I was younger, but it happens a lot even to this day that when I am praying for somebody, there is an element where I feel like I have to be on. I have to perform. I have to make sure that I sound holy, that I know what I'm talking about. And pretty quickly, the prayer isn't about that person. It's about how I feel about how I'm praying. And the invitation here, when we're talking about partnering with the Holy Spirit, it's not our words. It's not our prayer even. We're just listening, and we're we're inviting the Spirit into that conversation, and we become kind of the communicators. We're just the ones conveying a message to the person. So my encouragement is to stop performing and just listen. Let it be awkward. And then notice what comes. I think the Spirit can speak in a lot of different ways, but I do think it can fall in one of three categories. Things you hear, things you see, and things you feel. So things you hear, it could be a simple word or a phrase. It could be a song lyric. It can be scripture that comes to mind, a word from God. It could be things you see. You might see a picture of a door or a field, or you might see a mountain, or you might see something that just kind of stands out in your mind that kind of you're drawn to. It could be a person. Or it could be things you feel. It could be a physical sensation. You could start to feel a pain, or you could start to feel warmth in your chest or your arm or your head. That it can be something that's physical. It can be an emotion, a memory, a name of a person that comes to mind. We may have even, as we've been praying for somebody, experienced this and not known what to call it. But now there's a language that we can use, and we know that those nudges, those times when we kind of feel those sensations, or we start to see images or songs popping to mind, that actually might be an invitation from the Spirit to speak those things and not be afraid of it. How do we offer it? So say you do get that sense. You've invited the Spirit, you've been listening, and you start to get a picture. One thing is language, I think, matters. So some practical things. The way you offer a prophetic word matters as much as the word itself, because the truth is you may only be getting part of a word. So if, and you might only be right about some of it, and off on other parts. So the language you use needs to reflect your humility. Nobody needs you to open with, and you've probably heard this before, "Thus saith the Lord." That puts an enormous amount of weight on the words that come after it. Right? And it can do more harm than good if you're only getting part of the picture. That's not our job. Our job isn't always to have all of it. Sometimes part of it is just giving what we have and allowing that person to sit with it and to sit with the Spirit. So instead of saying, "Thus saith the Lord," or "God said to me," or "I heard God say," you could just say, "Hey, I'm sensing, I'm seeing this in your life." You could even say, "I feel like God may be saying this." And let me just tell you, approaching it that way does not weaken the message, because it actually makes it easier for someone to receive it, because they don't think you're trying to, you're not putting yourself between them and God. Does that make sense? Instead, you're allowing the word that you're receiving to be given, and then they get to process that with God. You're just pointing to God. One of the couple weeks ago at Deeper Life Academy, that was my second time going, so the second full week. The first week that we were there, which was back in the fall, we were given an assignment. It was to write a letter of encouragement to a stranger. So I was handed a name of somebody, and I didn't, and I didn't know anything about this person. I didn't even, they were at the academy, but I'd never met them. And I was like, how am I supposed to pray for somebody who I don't know a single thing about? And they're like, that's the exercise, Brian. Have fun. That was my homework. So that night, I had gone into my room, and I started to just pray over the name. So I did this, all the things I just talked about. I slowed down. I started listening, just kind of looking at the, sitting with the name. I'll be honest, I got nothing when I started. In fact, like, it became very frustrating. And so I put my pen down, and I went for a walk. And I was like, this exercise is stupid. I know nothing about this person. God is not going to speak to me through this. This is not my gift. I am not a prophet. This is a dumb exercise. And I'm going to tell him that the next day. But I got to get this homework assignment done. I can't show up because everybody's expecting to receive a letter the next day. And if I don't have mine done, so I'm like, I have nothing. I don't even know. I'm trying to make something up. But I'm like, I just have to go to bed. And so I went to bed. 2 o'clock in the morning, God woke me up. And I was mad. Because I was tired. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. Because I can't get back to sleep. God's like, go write the letter. I want to sleep. Sat down, and I started to just like, okay, God, I'll give this another shot. As I prayed, I began to see some images. So I just started writing down what I saw, and eventually I kind of put it together into a letter, but I just started kind of brainstorming what I was seeing. And here's what I saw. I saw a man who was tired. Someone who had been working hard and wanted and was actually trying to work harder, but couldn't anymore. He was worn out. And he was disappointed in himself because he couldn't do more. Then I heard 3 words, loved, faithful, and proud. And the passage, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, came up as I was processing. So I just wrote all that down. So here's the weird thing is I'm like, okay, I don't know if this is from God or not, but I'm gonna give it to him. So it was anonymous. He didn't know who wrote it. I never actually saw him receive it. And actually I didn't even get to follow up with him. So I'm like, I don't know if this was worth my time or not. But what I did see, there was impact. Because our whole group did the exercise, and there were people that shared what they had received. And there was story after story of people who received letters that spoke directly to their hearts and was deeply encouraging, including the one that I received, which was so random, because the one I received was the person who wrote it was sitting in a chair and had a jumping spider that kept trying to attack him. And not really attack him, it just wanted to be on his chair with him. And he kept trying to shoot away, and it kept coming. He's like, I don't know what this means. But when he gave it to me, I was like, I don't know what that means either. A few days later, I started putting some pieces together about how it connected to some stuff that I was walking through with God. How would you know that? They didn't know who I was. I didn't know who they were. I just had a name. God can use those things because it's the Spirit. It's not me. The Spirit was working through ordinary people who were just willing to slow down and listen. You can't put some guardrails on this to make sure that what you're communicating is received well and also doesn't kind of like veer into some weird kind of left field kind of thing. The first is, does it align with Scripture? Because the Spirit never contradicts the Word. There's never a contradiction. So if something you're hearing goes against Scripture, it is not from God, plain and simple. Does it strengthen, encourage, and comfort? If it's condemning or controlling or manipulative, it is probably not from God. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to convict. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to change. Your job is to encourage, to love. That's what prophetic prayer is focused on. And then the final one, does it sound like Jesus? I originally wrote, does it smell like Jesus? But because I just think of that, like, in my, like, does it taste like Jesus? Does it sound like Jesus? Does it look like Jesus? If it doesn't on any of those things, it's probably not Jesus. If you can imagine, if you can't imagine Jesus saying it, hold it. Don't say it. So even when you're praying for somebody, like say you're going to do listening, you're going to listen to somebody and you're going to pray over them in the moment, part of slowing down and creating those awkward spaces is you're doing those guardrails in the back of your mind as words are coming to you. Does that make sense? You're actually, your goal is to go, like, this is what I'm hearing. Does that feel like that's Scripture? And the person may be looking at you like, what are you doing? And it's like, I'm just listening. Does it align? Is this going to strengthen them or encourage them? Does it sound like Jesus? And if those don't pass that test, it's okay. Just hold on to it. Still pray for them anyway. Pray encouragement over them. Pray for them anyway, but you don't have to. It's not a requirement that you share everything that comes to mind. You might start talking about what you're going to have for dinner that night. So the last thing I'm going to wrap up with is actually receiving a prophetic word, because I think this is underrated, and when we often don't discuss it, because we talk about prayer and we talk about how to do it and we give you guys ways to do it and those kinds of things, but we don't talk about, like, if somebody comes up to you and they say, hey, I have this image in my head, or I heard this word and I want to share it with you. We don't understand how to maybe receive that well. If it's ever happened to you, it's happened to me. I was at a church and I had this lady come up that I didn't know very well, and she came up to me and she goes, I see God telling you this. And I was like, okay. God's got a plan for you. And it's, this is what I'm seeing. And I was like, okay, I just, and it freaked me out. I didn't know how to receive it. But I think receiving well is just as important as actually hearing a word from God. I shared maybe parts of this story before, but one of my most profound experiences with this in terms of receiving a word happened really not that long ago. Almost three years ago. We were on a trip to New York where we got to walk in the footsteps of A.B. Simpson, who founded the Christian and Missionary Alliance, the denomination we're a part of. And during part of our time together, as we were doing this journey or this this pilgrimage, was we also learned about listening prayer, about prophetic prayer. We learned about how to listen to the Spirit, how to be filled by the Spirit. Then the guy that was teaching the class, his name was Ron. And he's a professor at Alliance Theological Seminary. His like kind of focus and his work has been all around kind of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so he'd been teaching us how to listen, how to do these things, the history behind the Holy Spirit. And at the end of his lecture, he stood up and he said, okay, now I'm going to pray for all of you guys. And I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray for the Spirit to fill you, and I'm going to just invite the Holy Spirit into this conversation. And I was freaked out because at first I thought he was going to ask like what we wanted prayer for or what maybe we had been seeing. And the images I had seen that week were like, I didn't know what to do with, and they felt kind of silly. So I'm like, I hope I don't have to say anything. I don't want to be prayed for. Like, let's just get this over with. I want to go back outside. And we were standing there, and he begins to pray. And he just invites us just to be open and just to receive kind of his words. And he's kind of pacing the room as he starts his prayer. And before long, he's right in front of me. And then he starts praying, and he's just like, I'm sensing a word to you. And I'm like, there's a lot of people in the room. He can't be talking about me. But he starts praying. And as he's praying, I quickly realize that, one, he's praying to me, because he starts speaking words of knowledge. He's saying some things about who I am that I'd never shared with anybody, or at least not with him. And I'm like, oh, he's praying directly to me. And then pretty quickly, I realize he definitely is praying to me because he grabs my hands. And he starts just continuing to pray. And he starts speaking directly to things that I experienced in my life. Hurts, wounds, things that had kind of rocked my world as a leader, as a young leader, just as a person, things I had gone through. And he just starts speaking those, like, this is the picture he's getting or the things he's seeing. And then from there he moved to words of wisdom, where he started praying specifically about the hurt of those past experiences and speaking truth into them. What God would say if God was right in front of me. What Jesus would say if he was right in front of me. And then he ends with saying, I'm inviting you into a new work. You're being invited into a new work that you're going to do. And I was like, okay. He finished praying and he moved on. But there are some things that were clear. One, Ron heard things from the Lord that he couldn't have known otherwise. Like that it had to come from somewhere. He spoke truth and wisdom into my life. And three, I was left overwhelmed with feelings loved, seen, encouraged, and I was really excited. I also didn't know what to do with any of it. And it freaked me out because I never had that happen before. And it was so interesting because in that moment, like, I was excited and I was overwhelmed and there were people crying. I was crying. There was like, everybody realized that this prayer was for me. But there wasn't like a definitive answer. When he said, you're going to do a new work, I don't know what that means. Matter of fact, I came back and the lead pastor of the church at the time, I went to him and I said, hey, like, this is what happened in New York. And his response to me was, are you leaving Main Street? And I said, I don't think so. But I don't know what to do with this. And I just sat with it. So one of the key things that happens, I think, when we receive a word from somebody or we get an image or a picture is like we try to hurry and interpret it and we try to apply it right away. But part of the process is that we actually need to test it. How do we know that it's real? How do we know if we should trust it? 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21 says this, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say reject it. He doesn't say distrust it. He doesn't say just jump into it. He says test it. And hold on to what is good. Not everything that someone's going to share with you is going to necessarily apply. But that's part of the testing process, is to allow the Spirit to tell us this is what you need to hold on to. And this was 3 years ago for me in New York, and I, to this day, continue to go back to that moment. And there are new things that I'm discovering and things that are good from it every time. That's the beauty of how the Spirit works. I must be, that might be my alarm that says, hey, wrap this up. So how can we hold it well? We can write it down. That's the first thing. Just getting it down on paper so you don't forget the details is helpful. Don't trust your memory in the moment. Let me tell you, my memory is awful, and I will add things, I will take things away. So writing it down is super helpful. Pray over it. Bring it back up to God and ask Him to confirm and clarify. Test it against Scripture. Does it align with the character and the Word of God? Does it sound like Jesus? Does it pass the smell test? Share it with a trusted person. I think this one, I just put share it, but I would add share it with a trusted person. If there's somebody that you walk with through life, a partner, if there's a friend, if there's a maybe you have a spiritual director, I don't know. But somebody that you know, that you look at and you say, that is a person that is a godly person, or somebody that is in tune with kind of who God is and knows me well, they're a great resource to say, hey, I received this word. What do you think? And then the last one is, don't build your life on it immediately. Again, let it settle. Let it be confirmed over time. Because the goal is never dependence on prophetic words. The goal is always a deeper encounter with God, with the God who spoke them. Let me say that again. The goal is always a deeper encounter with God, with the God who spoke them. The word that is given is the arrow. God is always the target. I could go on and on about this. I'm not, just so you know. And if you'd like to like go deeper in any of these talks, whether it's the healing prayer or just conversation around the Holy Spirit, a great resource is a book by Tyler Stanton. He's actually a pastor in Portland. He wrote the book Familiar Stranger. I will not lie. My last talk, I took quite a bit of his material on healing prayer. Because as I was trying to write it myself, I was like, wow, this guy is, like, he said it better than I did. So, but he's a great resource. I would encourage you to pick it up. It's an easy read. But here's what I want you to walk away with today. Prophetic prayer is accessible. It's for you. It's not for a special class of believer. Paul told the whole church to desire it, and it's beneficial. Not just for us to feel spiritual, but to strengthen, encourage, and comfort the people around you. The ultimate goal is to love others. This is one of the ways that we can do that. Because it's not us doing the work. It's us partnering with the Spirit to love the people around us. We're going to move into communion and a time to respond. I'm going to invite the worship team up. And as we go to communion and worship, I just want to invite you to do a couple things. The first is an obvious one, hopefully, but it's to prepare just to take communion. Communion is the opportunity for us to come together to remember what Jesus did for us. That it's because of his death and his resurrection on the cross that we can be in relationship with God in the first place. that we can have this conversation about how the Holy Spirit now works. Jesus paved the way for that, to restore us and to empower us. The second thing, as you prepare, give time for God to bring a person or a name to mind. So as you're preparing to go up for communion, maybe be thinking, is there a coworker, a friend, a family member, or someone in the room? You don't have to do anything with it, other than maybe just write it down. Don't trust your memory. But if there's somebody that comes to mind as we go to worship, just write their name down. And then when you're ready, come up and take communion. And as you take the bread, which represents Christ's body that was broken for your sin, and dip it into the cup, which represents his blood that washed away that sin, also hold the name of that person close. And then this week, maybe you can do one simple thing, is just pray for that person. And before you do it, pause and ask the Spirit to be part of the conversation. And ask the Spirit, is there something you want to say to this person through me? And then listen. Write it down and write what comes. And then the scary part would be to share it with them. If you don't feel like you can do that yet, that's okay. Just hold it. But just start the exercise. That's kind of part of this process. As we're stepping out maybe out of our comfort zone. We're taking a step towards kind of dependence on the Spirit together. You might be surprised what God's willing to do. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you that you give us more than just your word. That you're not giving us just a set of rules to follow or a set of things to do. But you invite us to be in your presence. Lord, you invite us to experience your love in new and fresh ways. That you've given us the Holy Spirit to not only change our who we are on the inside, but that leads us into conversation, that leads us in prayer. Father, I'm so thankful that we have things like prophetic prayer and other prayer exercises that can just draw us into a new and deeper relationship with you, that can encourage others. And right now, Father, I just pray that you would just prepare us to take communion. I pray, Father, that you would just speak . Would you give us a name? Would you give us a name of somebody that we should pray for this week? That you want to speak to directly? Lord, we give the rest of this time to you.